Behold, God giveth to man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge. They go both hand in hand, wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the knowing how, and wisdom is understanding. With deep understanding, we are able to cope with any situation. With knowledge, we are able to apply our minds, apply our thought in such a way that we can use it constructively. I've always thought that it was essential to understand all these things, and it is. And it's only the deep student who begins to realize how essential it is. Because when we begin to recognize the meaning of thought, we begin to realize that there is something behind it. And without this that is behind thought, there could be no thought. So as we go back and understand the processes of the universe, we see that the whole universe is created by thought. The manifested universe is a manifestation of thought, an intelligence in action. Now, we know perfectly well from a scientific point of view that there is a basic substance in which and through which everything is created. Science calls this basic substance ether, the ether of space that permeates all atoms, enters into the very walls of the atoms. In fact, it carries the atoms and carries the electrons and carries all magnetic electro impulses creating from any source whatsoever. It carries sound, light, and these impulses. Being ether itself, and it is the finest substance and penetrates every other substance, it carries these vibrations on its back into the very pores of the atoms in your body. It carries it through into the very pores of these walls and everywhere, because you will realize that ether penetrates everything. Therefore, when we begin to realize the great truth that behind man there is the great Almighty, and that Almighty is a form of consciousness that is always aware. Awareness is carried with everything. It is a knowing how, an intelligence that expresses itself in the form of thought. The infinite thought. You are infinite thought. And then in the thought carries the life itself. Therefore within the thought is the principle and the means of expression of that thought. And it comes out through the ether. Ether being the basis of matter and the framework in which matter is built. Therefore you see that your thought, being created, must be electromagnetic, because you and everything else in the world is atomic, which is electromagnetic. Therefore, all impulses from man's mind must go forth into the ether, and by doing so has its effect upon the ether, and has its effect upon every living organism there, according to the state of consciousness and the mind of the individual who is expressing that thought. That if your mind is in such a way that it is, as it were, a conglomeration of contradictions, as most minds are, examine your own minds and you will see that your minds are a conglomeration of contradictions. You believe one thing and you believe another, then you don't know which is true. You think one thing and you think another, and you don't know which is true. One contradicts the other. And if you look into your mind, you will see that your mind is preventing you from thinking purely. From thinking from that source of power that created the universe, because there can be no other source at all. Therefore, your thought has the greatest potential power in the universe, yet you do not know it. Thank goodness, in fact, and it's quite true, and it's a very happy thing to know, that most minds are in a state of conglomeration of contradictions, therefore their thoughts make nothing. One thought contradicts the other, and there is no real effect at all. But when you come to an individual who understands, then it is most dangerous for that individual to use his thought in such a way except to express the highest understanding of love and wisdom. These two pillars upon which the whole of the universe is built. Therefore, I say to you tonight, in this lecture I'm going to speak to you about, you will see why I show you those things. Based upon this, that your thoughts go through into the atmosphere, first through your bodies, then through your environment, and then out into the atmosphere to carry the message. When we realize the great truth, what thought is possible, I see the method of Jesus. Jesus understood the power of thought. He could change one element to another, therefore he could easily change water into wine. He could easily control the winds and the seas and the storm, because all were amenable to his thought. This thought moving out in electric waves through the atmosphere, controlling and changing the very atoms. Therefore, it is possible for a man like Jesus the Christ to do those things. It is possible for every one of us to do those things. First of all, we must cleanse our minds. The minds must be cleansed through understanding. Mind must be cleansed through discerning all these things that are hindering the expression of this pure thought. Therefore, heed those words I have said to you because they are most important. State of consciousness means the state of the concentrated thought that is sent out in electromagnetic waves into the ether, being carried through the very walls of the atoms of matter, changing and transforming that matter in new combinations, according to the vibration of the thought that is sent out. That's how Jesus healed, because he knew the power within himself that he and the Father was one, and his thought was dynamic. The appalling conditions which we are aware of in the world today have their roots in man himself. This unrest is caused by man's desire for conquest, either in the political, economic, and religious, or personal field. Certain groups and systems of thought claim their particular panacea will solve their problems. But any limited, restricted, incomplete, or sectional remedy as a solution for the complexity of life, however rational or logical, must inevitably fail and bring in its wake other complications. So you see, the state of mind of these people or others or yourselves when you are trying to bring about certain conditions for the benefit of humanity. If it is sectional, if it is political, if it is divisional, whatever the case may be, it will bring in its train other complications which will add to the complications you have at the present time. To solve any problem of struggle, suffering and misery in ourselves and in the world, we must understand it, not through an outside agency, and not through the limitation of any particular group, but with a free mind capable of facing the problems as an undivided whole, taking into consideration the whole, What is then the whole? I've showed you the basis of the structure of matter of every human soul is ether that permeates the whole universe. Ether itself is not the absolute. Ether is a means through which the absolute manifests. It's a means through which the absolute expresses himself. And through this intelligent vibration carries with it the pattern of the form to be created. And that's how form comes forth. The manifested universe is none other but the thoughts of the Creator, carrying with it the intelligent knowing how, produced in the ether as the basis of the form, and that form will eventually return to ether, the substance of which it was created from. But the idea will always remain absolute, because the idea remains in the consciousness it always created. Therefore, there are two things we must see in ourselves. We must see then clearly there is an absolute state of the idea, and we see there is a relative state of the idea. The relative state of the idea is the expression of that idea through your mind. But your mind is the one, or what we will say, the focal point through which it must flow. If your mind is then caught up in limitation and conglomeration of other things, then your mind prevents the absolute state of that idea from manifesting on the other. Your mind is the means of which it will flow. Therefore, that's why that your mind must be clear, clear as crystal, free of all inhibitions, free of all fear, free of all contradictions, free of all limitations. I wish I could make you see this, but you must see it for yourself. I can't give it to you. It's impossible. First, we must realize that there must be a cause for this confusion and misery, not only in ourselves, but also in our relationship with others. If we can understand the fundamental cause, then the problem can be solved forever. Let us see how we can approach this all-engaging nightmare of existence in which we live. When we try to solve our problem of relationship with others from the outside, we soon realize that there must be a complete change in our social and economic structure. We see that there must be a complete elimination of barriers, racial, natural, and economic. We must also be free from religious barriers with their separate dogmas and beliefs. All these things are creating limitations in your mind. They are not freeing you, they're hindering you. Wherever there are different groups formed, religious or otherwise, they become antagonistic to each other. I'm telling you facts, which probably you have missed in the past, but nevertheless you've got to discern them now. You are students of the highest possible grade, a university course in the science of living. We realize that all these organizations have not united men, they have separated men from man. These things happen in ourselves first, then they become world denominations. Thus, we are caught up in the result of our own causes. People will ask you this question, what religion do you belong? Everything you write down in a piece of paper when you want to ask anything or if you belong to any particular thing, they will say, your name, your address, how old are you? What nationality are you? What religion do you belong to? And before you know where you are, you've separated yourself in bits from every other individual. The real thing that is natural within each and every one is disregarding it. And the only thing that is of any value is disregarding it. If we approach the problem from without, the emphasis must be laid upon legislation and the importance of the state with its resultant dangers. We have experienced that through the action of the state, man is sacrificed for an ideology, bringing with it brutality, corruption, and suppression. We must look into our minds to see how much we contribute to this state of affairs. This is what I call dynamic examination of the self. And without it, you can never cleanse your mind. You'll never be able to think like Jesus, free. You'll never be able to think like I showed you in the beginning of this lecture. His great thought was, I and the Father are one. Therefore he thought from that point of view. His thought moved out in waves, permeating the ether, carried on the ether, to the utmost parts of the universe. That was what I say when we understand real prayer, not the prayer that most people have in their minds. They're double-minded, they're lacking one thing and they want another. And you mind all the time it is lack, but you're crying for something like a baby, for something else. You think you lack that thing. Therefore you cry in despair. Prayer is not crying in despair. Prayer is creating, sending forth that divine force, carrying with it the intelligence, the perfect idea, the divine pattern that existed in the beginning, exists now. Strange as it may seem, the majority think that through losing themselves in an ideology, in service to the state, or some religious order, that their sorrows, anxiety, responsibilities, and conflicts will cease. Yet this can never be. For no sacrifice of the self alone to the outer can solve the problems, or your problems, or any other one's problems. We only become slaves to be exploited by those who advocate your sacrifice. Think well over what I'm telling you, and you will see how true it is. When we look within, we are conscious of the I, with its personal limitations, its ambitions, its hopes, its fears, its passions, its greed, all contradictions of one another, health, ill health, success, failure, good, evil. All the opposites are fighting one another, and you have conflict in the mind. You don't know whether you're going or you're coming. As long as the ways of the I, the self, is not discerned and understood, the state only becomes a means for its cunning, its self-expansion, its glory, which again and again brings about new chaos and misery. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is civilization, for he is civilization. Therefore, all the conditions brought about in this world today is lack of what the whole God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge. When we look around in the world today, do we see any leader worthy of being called a leader? Are they not all sectional or religious fanatics or politically arrogant because they represent a section of the people and must bow to their ignorance or lose their leadership in the conflict? Thus, living in separation, we create strife and ill will and antagonisms which leads to misery for all. The desire for conquest, for approbation, for power, for gain, will be sought as long as the self exists in separation. The cause of this outward manifestation of conflict is the result of inner conflict, of craving for ambition, for approbation. The worship of conquest and success is always within the mind that is ignorant of wholeness of being. Craving is going away from reality and not approaching reality. One of the greatest sayings, I think, Jesus said to man was to his disciples, "Believe you have received and you shall have." That is the basis of the most scientific law in the universe, the most scientific law of thought, of creative thought. How can you create if your mind is in contradiction? When creation is the expression of the idea that is held perfectly and absolute in itself, in the consciousness. If your mind is in contradiction, how can you express the idea? How can you create? How can you create a pattern through a mind that is always in contradiction to itself? Now, some think and advocate a form of mental gymnastics to overcome the many causes of conflict in our relationship with others. And we substitute one cause for another. So thought becomes entangled in his own vicious net. So they try to remove the cause by logical conclusions. They worship God or an idea in order to forget themselves and their troubles. But this does not end the trouble. The trouble only ends when the cause is understood. We develop the idea that they are a spiritual essence. And by this idea they try to escape their daily conflict in relation to others. It's a flight away from reality. Not reality itself. Reality is understanding, wisdom, love. If your mind is ignorant and you still do not understand, you still have no knowledge, and you say again in your mind that you're a spiritual essence, that just becomes an idea. It isn't a reality. And you think that you can hide behind it. Foolish people. Through their sacrifice and love, they hope to solve the problem. So their belief becomes more important than their understanding of life. There is ever the competition between religious groups or between those who think they love more or sacrifice more. So their leaders, thinking in terms of conversion, become their exploiters. It is thus impossible for them to unite because of their traditions, their nationalities, their religions. They try to escape, but escape is impossible for the I, the self, is ever caught up in its own craving for its own immortality, for its own expansion. Then we see, can't we, clearly, how can you have unity with separate and distinct organizations created by man going in opposite directions, having definite beliefs, having definite traditions, having definite ideas, ideologies of all kinds, which are combating one another, and you think that you're going to have harmony and peace in the world. I tell you, you can't have it with these things. It's an utter impossibility. You've got to come down to basic facts of life and understand these basic facts of life. And you are the ones that have got to understand it, because you are the students of the highest possible course on living and understanding. How can you possibly then give to any individual the truth if you yourself is caught up in separation or limitation? There is always a desire to forget ourselves in beliefs, dogmas, systems, while behind this there is the intense desire for unity, wholeness. Is this not conflict again? You still hold on to your beliefs, but yet you want wholeness. You still hold on to your sectional ideas, but you still want wholeness. You still live in divisions, yet you want completeness. How can it come about except through understanding and discerning what's in your own mind? We must understand our relationship to others. We must understand and know what our beliefs are and why we have them. We must understand our desires, our cravings, and without compulsion, from within or without, intelligently understanding ourselves. In this only lies the solution of our troubles. Without compulsion from within or from without. You have not to be forced in any way to recognize this thing. It must come through intelligently understanding ourselves. Most people are reluctant to concentrate on the fundamental alteration within themselves. Institutions, legislation, and the like force us to adjust ourselves in the outer, in the hope of achieving social harmony. But this does not eliminate the cause of conflict and suffering. Compulsion does not create harmony, whether it is from within or from without. It is not mere control and introspection our understanding comes, but through becoming aware of our daily thoughts and actions. Becoming aware of our possessive love, our nationalistic ideas, our religious intolerances, and the desire for personal advancement, and the continuity in separation. Is that not what you're doing every day? Have you ever discerned your thoughts? Have you ever discerned where you're moving? Have you ever discerned the fact that you are continuing every day in your separations? There is no use of trying to hide behind anything at all, because it will not give you harmony. It is only humbug. When we begin to understand these things, there comes into being a comprehensive understanding without superiority or inferiority. I am the life. But we must just say, I am the life, without understanding. It just becomes an idea. But if I know that I am life, every thought I express must have living life with it. It carries the power of that life into the ether, changing the atoms, transforming, combining the atoms according to the thought I express. I can see Jesus healing. He knew the power of his own thought. Wilt thou be made whole? Wholeness was his completeness. He says, be thou whole. And with the power of his own thought, of wholeness and completeness, so every atom changed accordingly. His thought was so powerful, it carried through the ether into the very walls of the atoms that built the body, combining and transforming them into the wholeness of what he knew to be true. Will thou be made whole? Most of us are controlled by our environment, our external burdens, our external values, our opinions, so we are kept in bondage. If the inner is the result of outer influences, we will ever bring about discord and conflict in ourselves and others, and in the world, for we are the world. No matter how orderly the outer is planned, and however carefully our social and economic conditions are arranged, if the inward conflict is maintained, these will be constantly disintegrated, for the inner is ever overcoming the outer. And not until we understand ourselves and the ways of the self can even a well-arranged social order be maintained. When we seek a solution, we will find that the self is the cause and the self alone can solve the problem. That is wisdom. That is knowledge. That is understanding. Through constant awareness of our thought and action, we will free ourselves from all that hinders the true expression of the self that underlies every other self. Then we will love completely without fear, without the thought of the self. We shall love without fear. How many of you love without fear? Have you ever examined your minds to see if you love without fear? Why do you say you have faith? Because you want to run away from fear, that's why. And you try to invent faith so that you can run away from fear, but fear always catches you up. You only say you have faith when you want to escape from fear, don't you? So you are in conflict already, are you not? With faith and fear. Can you run away from fear through faith? That wasn't the faith that Jesus knew. He was the faith that said, this is the faith that changes the atomic structure. It will say that this mountain get thee hence, be buried in the sea, and it shall be done so. This is the faith when he said, thy storm shall cease, be peace. That was the faith, his faith, was one pointed to understanding and wisdom, not through ignorance, but fear and faith are opposing each other in every person's mind. And what you think in faith and thinking fear, you equally produce. I am trying to lift you out of this double-minded state in which you are in. We must not identify ourselves with family or race or creed. For as long as we are caught up in these, there can be no true understanding of the real. Therefore, we must become aware and discerning the ways of the self, so that we can free our thought from bondage of the unreal. Unless you forsake your father and your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, and your children, and even your own life, you cannot be a disciple of mine. Oh, what a true and deep statement of the Master. Unless you can part with all separation, you will never know the power of the Christ. Christ alone is power, but the mind must be free from all separation. All divisions, relations is divisions. You do not give up this relationship, but you see beyond it. You begin to understand it, place it in its state, but there is something beyond, and that is the Christ that dwells in every living soul, the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the creator of the world and existed before the world began. Through him everything was made that was made. By his hand everything came into being. This is the creative power in man. Yet man's mind prevents him from using it because he does not yet understand. He has not yet obtained that wisdom. Again, the most beautiful thing that I read, behold, God giveth to man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge. We will see that all cause and effect are in the mind. This lifts the mystery of soul and body and sets free the imprisoned thought. The universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. In this being, therefore, the likeness between God and man is the likeness of the creative power inherent in God, not as a separate and distinct from man, but as one and the same. When we realize this, we will work in accordance with the divine law of love, your neighbor, as yourself. It's an extraordinary thing that the majority of people have never realized the fact that their thoughts going out into the atmosphere, into the ether, reaches the furthest confines because of the strength of itself. And when it reaches the furthest of its own carrying power, it begins to return back to the center. And there it begins to lodge again, like a missile returning to the platform from which it has been sent. Which, thank God, the majority of people's minds are so confused that their thoughts are a conglomeration of lots of nonsense. Therefore, their thoughts do not convey very much. But let me tell you, if I think deeply, you shall feel my thought. Because I shall move the ether. I send waves, and I know what I'm doing. Send electromagnetic waves through the ether, which interfere and make up your body, which bring about new combinations and health and strength in your body. Everything in the world has certain vibration. Every herb that exists in the world today has a certain vibration. That vibration is given to the herb through the sun and the moon. I'm not going to tell you all about how it comes about, but I'm just giving you the facts which I see. If you know the herb, then with certain vibrations, it's taken into the mouth, into the body. It's carried through the bloodstream, because the bloodstream carries vibrations just the same as the ether does, except on a lower level. It's more modified in its nature. And the bloodstream carries that herb through the blood until it reaches the organ that it vibrates with, and there it takes its root and begins to act on the organ according to the divine nature which created it. And while those who know herbs and the combinations of herbs, as I do, I know the vibrations, I know for every organ, and I know the herb that will apply to that organ. And as it passes through the bloodstream, I know that immediately it gets there, the organ pulls it in, takes it up, and becomes active in the organ and brings about a new and perfect condition, because the vibration is there. Nature has produced it. God has produced that in all the wonderful ways of the universe. How wonderful this universe is. But all in the basis of vibration. All is electromagnetic, the basis of matter, the atomic structure, the body, the atomic structure of the whole world is based upon electromagnetic system. Your thought must be the same, just as like a radio station sending out waves of the atmosphere. As we know perfectly well that sound doesn't travel very fast. It only travels at the rate of about 700 miles per hour. But when it's raised up into electromagnetic waves, it's sent out of the ether and travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, which is both perpendicular and horizontal in ever-suckling waves to be heard in any part of the world at the same time. Therefore, these electromagnetic waves carry the sound on its back. So does ether carry the sound of my voice. But I can create another sound which you do not hear. And that's the sound of thought. And it carried in the waves of ether, electromagnetic waves. Immediately I think now. I can send waves through you immediately. Why don't you know that the spiritual powers in the universe are based in man? That man is receiver and projector. At the present time, I'm talking to you just quite easily. But I know that there is nothing I cannot answer. Why? Because I have a receiving set. And I have a projecting set here. I can listen in. I can receive from the universe and pick up all that is there. I can give it to you by word of mouth. It is very simple. There is nothing difficult about it. When Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees to look within themselves and see that their thoughts and actions were not in accordance with the truth of the One, they immediately proclaimed him against the law. But he knew what was in the inner was manifesting in the outer. So the blind led the blind. The last shall be first and the first last shows us that the all-inclusiveness of our divine nature when the illusion of separation disappears. God is spirit, and all that he creates must be spirit. This is the truth that sets us free. God is one, and not a series of one. It is man who creates this illusion in his own mind. Human theories are totally inadequate to interpret the divine principle involved in the work and words of Jesus. He says with no uncertain words, I and the Father are one. This is the leaven of truth ever at work and must eventually destroy the entire mass of error in the world, and so be eternally glorified in man's spiritual freedom. Yes, this is the leaven of the spirit that changes man's thought. Through discerning that which is opposed to it, it is said that the flesh is opposed to the spirit. This is not so, for is not the body the temple of the living God? It follows as night the day that freedom from all conflict is man's heritage. As God is omnipresent, love, and is natural in man, then evil is unnatural and is opposed to the nature of God. Thus evil arises in man's mind and it gives it a reality that it does not possess. So he concentrates upon it. And as he concentrates upon it, he sees it. And what he does is electromagnetic charges the ether and every other soul in the same level becomes part of it and adds to the thought, adds to this illusion that is controlling and mocking man throughout the universe. Let us then not send these thoughts and waves into the atmosphere, but send the realization of love, Christ crowned and alive, not dead. The miracles of Jesus did not belong to a special era, now ending, but illustrated the divine principle in man which indicated the eternal continuity of his being. In discerning our thoughts, we see they are continually changing from sorrow to joy, from joy to sorrow, from health to disease, from disease to health, from success to failure, from failure to success, from fear to hope, from faith to fear, etc., etc., etc. Is that not so? Is your thoughts always changing backwards and forwards from one to the other? Can you not discern these things, or are you stupid to have discerned them? It is easy for the mind, surely, to be able to see itself and what it's doing. How can you go on doing these things after I have been telling you these fundamental truths and the principles of which your thought travels? First of all, encircling right through the whole of your own organisms, then out into your environment, then right into the atmosphere to carry its mission of death or life. Thus man governed by his reactions to the physical senses. But man's being divine spirit, it must be so. He cannot be controlled by sin and death except through his own volition, his own belief in them. The vesture a man puts on does not change the man. Thus when man sees and understands the unreal, he will see it is but his own belief, and a belief is but an idea in the mind. But you see then, when you see your beliefs, you see your mind and all these things that in it, then that is a garment you have clothed yourselves with. But when you change the garment, the same man existed in the beginning is still the same. Cleanse then, shed these garments of illusion that are held in the mind, and let the man that was born free go free. But God truth is none of these, only when we know the false can we set ourselves free by knowing that there is but one. And in this one there can be no division, no distinction, no separation. Your personality is the sum total of your thoughts, actions, and reactions. It is, in fact, a record of your thoughts and actions. If you become aware of this, you can change your personality no matter what circumstance you're in. But this is not the truth I want to show you. The truth I want you to see is yourself free from conditioning, understanding what your ideas, your beliefs, your opinions, your actions, reactions are, and how they come about. Then you will find the eternal and ever-present life. What is it that's hiding it? Is it not a belief of some kind? What is it hiding the life? Is it not your mind? This is the divine truth for everyone, no matter how great or small. Remember, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We use our intellect as a means of getting by in this world of ours, but with spiritual understanding, we'll have more than just getting by. We will reach the highest degree of our possibilities, and our capabilities will be shown in the outer manifestation of our lives. We will look deep into things instead of accepting the outward sense of things. We will see that we do not gather grapes from the thorn bush or brambles from the thistle. We will come to the true, and through the understanding of ourselves and the true value of reality, then our purpose will be constructive and in harmony with the whole. We will become invincible, and our results will be abundant and permanent. Millions of words have been written, but all lead to confusion of thought. One writer contradicts another. There can be no understanding in this way, only confusion. The only way is the discerning of the self and the ways of the self. Then the light of the truth shall reveal itself in all its glory and omnipotence. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Luke 21:15. Benediction. I lost the father of all in the wastelands of beliefs, and I could not find my home. Although I prayed and kept the door of my soul open, expected thee to enter from without, yet I did not find thee. My groping mind was filled with fear in a world created by man. At last, in the throes of despair, I heard thy voice from within. Then I rose out of my darkness to find the light that shone from the beginning of time. Envelop me in thee, who art my home forevermore. I am now no longer afraid, beloved one.